Confession to a priest is the topic I want to discuss with you in the next few minutes. It is a quite interesting topic. Many Catholics want to know about confession, even though the sacrament of confession is not as popular now as it used to be. But still, it is a question that comes up again and again as people come to our webpage and people ask by emails and other ways, what is confession to a priest? So it is a topic we should address. And the Catholic Church is emphatic that the priest has power to forgive sin and that this is the only ordinary way in which your sins can be forgiven. I'd like to read from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and it is easy to find the Catholic Catechism online, or you can get, maybe you have a copy of the Catechism yourself, but paragraph 1493, exact words. One who desires to obtain reconciliation with God and with the Church must confess to a priest all unconfessed grave sins as he remembers after having carefully examined his conscience. You must. It's not as if this was advised to you, or maybe you know, that you would confess your sins to God and then maybe later on confess to a priest. No, you must confess to a priest. So it says, paragraph 1493. It's also in the official law, known as the Code of Canon Law. It's Canon 960 of the official Code of Catholic Canon Law. Quotation, individual and integral confession and absolution constitute the only ordinary way which the faithful person who is aware of serious sin is reconciled with God and the Church. This is the only ordinary way. This is comes as a shock when we read in the First John, you know, if we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive our sins. That's when we confess our sins directly to God. The Catholic Church says the only ordinary way is integral confession and absolution. It's an obligation, and it is a serious matter that you have to that you're obliged to do. The Catholic Church says in its official teaching that there is no offense, no sin that the Church cannot forgive. This is paragraph 982. Quotation, there is no offense, however serious, that the Church cannot forgive. There is no one, however wicked or guilty, who may not confidently hope for forgiveness provided his repentance is honest. Paragraph 982. Read it for yourself in the Catholic Catechism. This is the claimed power that the Catholic Church has. No matter how guilty you are, the Church has the power to forgive, and it comes through the priests. And so they say that the priest has this power. It's the following paragraph I quoted from 982, now 983, says the priests have received from God a power that He has given neither through angels nor to archangels. God confirms what His priests do here below. Were there no forgiveness of sins in the Church, there would be no hope of life to come or eternal liberation. You've no freedom except through confession, confessing into the ear of a priest. And this is a quite amazing topic. I have published a book, Catholicism East of Eden, and it is easy to obtain this book in any nation of the world. In chapter 8 of the book, I deal with this topic. I call it Encounters in the Confession Box. And I give the official teaching of the Catholic Church of what the priest actually says. The priest is sitting there in the box and the people are whispering their sins into his ear, and the actual prayer of absolution is quite a long prayer. It's not just "I absolve you." Let me read the exact words. "God, the Father of mercies, through the death and resurrection of his Son, has reconciled the world to himself and sent the Holy Spirit among us for the forgiveness of sins through the ministry of the Church. May God give you pardon and peace, and I absolve you from all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I absolve you." It's the priest that absolves your sins. He is acting as the judge. Now that is interesting that the Catholic Church says that, and it's emphatic that it's the priest who forgives your sins. It's not like God forgives your sins, as you would see again and again in Scripture. It's not. It's the priest, and the Council of Trent was emphatic on this, and it had a whole canon where it says in Canon 902, I beg your pardon, yes, 902, and it is the official teaching of the Catholic Church as found in Denzinger 902, and it's Canon 9. So it's Denzinger 902, Canon 9, exact quotation. "However, although the absolution of the priest is the dispensation of the benefaction of another, yet it is not a bare ministry only, either of an announcing the gospel or declaring the forgiveness of sins, but it is equivalent to a judicial act by which sentence is pronounced by him as a judge. The priest acts as a judge. I absolve you." I remember saying that in the confession box for 21 years in Trinidad, West Indies, and I would say it again and again. People would come into the confession box on Saturdays. We had confessions from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock, and then from 6 to 7 we had supper, and then from 7 to 8 we had another hour of confessions, and people would queue up. I remember distinctly, even though it was many, many years ago, you know, I was sitting in the box and somebody would come and kneel beside me, and you're looking through a grating, a steel grating, and you can see the person's face. I remember how embarrassing it was, particularly with young women. You know, they would be confessing their sexual sins or other sins they've committed, and sometimes I would see sweat here on their foreheads. You know, it was just here on, you know, it would, and I would sweat as well, and it wasn't just because it was tropics, Trinidad's in the tropics. It was a fearful thing. And as the years went by, and I saw people come in and out of confession, and week after week come back with the same sins, I'm just wondering, what does this deliver? People coming back with the same sins. Even in my last parish, I remember the youth in the choir and in the youth group that we had, I remember their sins of getting into drugs and fornication and all sorts of things. And when my own youth would come back with the same sins, and you know, and I give them absolution, and It doesn't seem to make any difference. It was really, really difficult. So this is a topic, and it's no wonder we get emails and people coming to our web pages, like my webpage, mariebeacon.org, and the other webpage, helpforcatholics.org, where we deal with these things. It's no wonder that we have people inquiring, because it is a serious, serious matter. Even in the Old Testament, the Lord is emphatic. Isaiah 43, chapter 43, verse 25. I am he that blots out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. I. The Lord is emphatic. He repeats the I. It's God who forgives sins. It's not institution or any judicial person thinking he is a judge in a confession box. It's God, and God alone. And it is what the Apostle Paul preached. You go through the Acts of the Apostles, and chapter after chapter, and you come towards the end of the Acts of the Apostles, or coming towards the end, chapter 13, Paul is preaching, and he says, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Paul preaching that through Christ Jesus, the man, the mediator, who is God and man, is preached to you forgiveness of sins. He is the one. And it is the same Apostle Paul that announced the good news in Romans chapter 3, that forgiveness is preached. And it is not simply forgiveness, but as you trust on him, his righteousness is credited to you, imputed to you. You share in Christ's own perfection. In a legal way, it's credited to you, it's reckoned to you, imputed to you. And so Paul could say in Romans 3:21, but now the righteousness of God is manifest without the law. It's manifest, it is seen, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon them that believe. There is no difference. It's upon them who believe. It rests on you, the righteousness of God, because you're forgiven and you're now deemed to be perfect with the righteousness of Christ. And so you live as a child of God, as a son of God, or as a daughter of God. This is how wonderful it is, summarized in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. It's the riches of Christ's grace. The abundance of grace, the riches of grace. It's wonderful to see the scriptures speak about our Lord Jesus Christ and the wonder of his forgiveness. We look to him, the person of Jesus Christ. And he is the one in whom we are forgiven. It is the amazing work of the forgiveness that comes from God through Jesus Christ because of his perfect life and perfect sacrifice. And that is the desire I have for you as you listen to this program, that you would know Christ Jesus and the power of his resurrection, that you would know the power of forgiveness that is in him, and the freedom that comes as we are credited his righteousness because of his glorious work. Now, this wonder of God saving us directly in Christ, the Father saving us directly in Him, and then being imputed or credited the righteousness of God is so wonderful. It is the closeness, as it were, with God by the power of the Holy Spirit. You are forgiven, you are declared righteous in Christ, as you're forgiven your sins. The wonderful thing it is. What does the Catholic Church substitute for this? It is really sad. You can see, if you go into a Catholic church, you can see the confession box. And not that many queuing up anymore, but you can see the box there. And that's the box you go into to confess your sins into the ear of the priest. So you have, in place of the direct work of the Holy Spirit from God in Christ, you have two sinners sitting in a box close to each other. And one of the sinners is called a priest, and he claims to have power as a judge to forgive you. I mean, how ridiculous can you get? Two sinners sitting in a box together. And one has the arrogance to think that he can forgive you your sins. But that is how sad it is. And that is the reality of the horrors of the confession box. It has been shown across the world since the Boston Globe, first of all, here in the United States, published the statements to show emphatically that there was evidence of the immorality of priests in pedophilia and in other fornication, adulteries, and many other immoral acts, and that a lot of it is associated with the confession box. It is really sad to break your heart that this box in which you're supposed to get forgiveness of sin can be occasion of sin and a place where you are in danger of being led into sin. So the Catholic Church has many laws about this, and in chapter 8 of the book that I just showed you, I give many more of the laws, and I'll quote here in this short program, but an example of them is Canon 984. It declares, even if danger of revelation is excluded, a confessor is absolutely forbidden to use knowledge acquired in the confessional when it might harm the penitent. The priest, that is the confessor, is obliged not to harm the penitent, that is the one confessing sins into his ears, and he's not to reveal it if it could harm the penitent. And it shows that the Catholic Church is conscious that things can happen or go wrong. It's particularly evident when the priest is hearing confessions of a small group. I remember as a priest going into a nun's convent, and the nuns would come one by one and kneel down in the confession box, and you give them confession, and then afterwards you'd be socializing and talking to the same nuns, and it was very difficult to not remember or use some of the knowledge you got in the box to, when it came to ordinary conversations with the same people who had confessed to you. It is very, very difficult, and it is the dangers of this confession box. And the Catholic Church talks about the dangers in canon. The priest is not to ask the name of a partner for crime, that he had encountered in the confession box. It's the height of insolence to say that you have a power as a judge to forgive sins and then to make rules to protect people from you in your laws, that it may be a way that you could harm people by letting facts out afterwards, or by revealing names of people who committed crimes with others. And it shows that they are aware that this is a dangerous place to be. The confession box is a dangerous place to be, and that's maybe the reason why we don't have many Catholics going to confession as they used to. Some still do, and some will still call for the priest to come to their home if they're dying, that the priest can hear confession, not in a box then, but just at the bedside. And I remember hearing confessions at people's bedsides. And that was really, really sad, because I've distinct memories of giving people absolution when they were dying. I absolve you from all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And what was scary, and I can still see it in my mind's eye, I can still see those scenes where I had given a person forgiveness of sins, and I saw not many, but a few of those people die cursing God. Frightening. Not only were the sins not forgiven, but they didn't know God. It was frightening. Here you did your stuff as a priest, and you gave absolution, and of course extra unction as well. And the people could die not only tormented by where they're going to go, but some even blaspheming God as they died. It was really, really sad. And I say this, and it's traumatic. It's hard for me even to remember those days, because I was 21 years a priest. It's hard to remember those days, but remember I do, and I share it with you in the words of Jesus Christ from John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 36. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Jesus said, if the Son make you free, he is the Son of God, come to this earth to free us from our sins. Come to declare that there is forgiveness in him. And this is eternal life, to know him and the Father who sent him. This is the freedom we have and the forgiveness we have. When the Jews asked Christ, what must we do that we may do the will of God? The Jews were like Catholics. They wanted to know something to do, you know, something to practice. And Christ answered them, this is the will of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. If you believe on Christ whom God has sent, it's not to do anything, it's already been done. Christ died for his own. He died in place of believing sinners on the cross. Are you one of those? Do you know the forgiveness that is in Christ Jesus? That is the forgiveness that sets you free. And you know that you have been freed from damnation, and you know the fact that forgiveness is of God and not of any man or any church or any system. This is the glory of what it is to be set free. If the Son set you free, you shall be free indeed. It's lovely to hear from you, and I thank God that this program, while short, goes out to many people across the world, and it's lovely to hear from you. I have an email address where you can write directly, and just send an email to richardmdennis@yahoo.com.